All right, so tonight we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning at verse 21, the Word of God says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. For his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So tonight we begin a new study looking at the extraordinary journeys of faith that we find in the New Testament and the shadows that they cast for us to follow. And of course, the greatest example for us to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll begin with Him tonight and spend a couple weeks on the Lord Jesus Christ, not studying His whole life, but looking at His example of His walk. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would help us to meet with You. Holy Spirit of God, use us, dear Lord. Teach us, illuminate the Scriptures. Help us to learn a truth tonight. Maybe something we've never seen and apply it to our hearts and lives, or maybe a truth that we have seen and we've forgotten, or we've not implemented that truth in our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit of God, that You would speak to our hearts and help us to act on how You speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So looking at these extraordinary journeys of faith that we find in the New Testament, you could just look upon page after page after page in the New Testament, you'll find people's lives that are just impacting not just Christians of that day, but Christians of this day as well. So we'll look at those lives tonight. But it all begins with a journey. And there's one of the greatest quotes about a journey in life is by a 6th century B.C. Chinese philosopher. It's not Confucius. A lot of people apply this quote to Confucius. It's not a Confucius quote. It's actually Lao Tzu, a 6th century B.C. Chinese philosopher. And the quote is, "The journey of 1,000 miles... begins with a single step." So we have to begin somewhere, but that's not how actually it is. That's how it's been translated out of Chinese, but the actual Chinese proverb is a little bit different, and it's a little more emphatic. So the original version varies slightly, and it says, "A journey of 1,000 miles starts beneath one's feet." So it doesn't start with that one step. It starts actually beneath that individual's feet. And then they have to move that foot and start that journey. So this Chinese proverb implies that a person must begin his journey to reach that goal, to reach that destination. All these New Testament Christians that we'll look at through this study, they all had to begin their journey with a step, a single step of faith. It's a proverb of motivational expression about not procrastinating and determined to finish a goal. It suggests a first step is required if we intend to finish something or a thought in a timely manner. In other words, this expression declares that the great things commence with simple beginnings. When someone gets saved, well, look at the Apostle Paul when he gets saved on the Damascus Road. He didn't immediately start preaching to the Gentiles and immediately preaching in those churches. He had to learn. He had to be taught. He had to spend some quiet time with the Lord. When we get saved, we don't immediately go out and step and do the things that we're doing 20 years into our Christianity, into our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to start somewhere in that process. So all of us are on a journey in our Christian life. And I pray it's an extraordinary journey of faith. And as that journey that we're on, all of us are at different stages in our journey. It's not based on our age, it's based on our maturity with the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. We may be 80 years old, we may be 16 years old, it may be 5 years old, but we're all on a journey of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this quote of a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. It talks about that step. And that step is a starting point. So what's 1,000 miles? 1,000 miles shows the longevity of the journey, while a single step is that initial movement. In other words, no matter how uncertain the task is, how long the journey is, how laborious the work is, a movement is always required to begin it. You think of some chore that you have that you're dreading that you have to start and to do. Numbers of us have chores around the house and in the yard that we have to do. It's got to get accomplished. And we're dreading that chore for some reason, either finances or the physical aspect of it, or we need help with it. Some of us have chores that we're dreading to start. Well, we have to start somewhere. So it takes that first step. Now, that doesn't mean in 5 steps later we're going to be finished. It could be 1,000 steps or 1,000 miles. Could be a lifetime of work. The Bible is full of journeys of extraordinary individuals, men and women. And these individuals and their amazing journeys of faith all began with that single step of faith. Think of Abraham in the Old Testament, when he was first called Abram, and God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And he's going to take him to a land he had never seen. That started with a single step. And it was a step of faith. That was a journey of many steps. It was a lifetime of Abraham's journey. These ordinary individuals, because these people that we will look at in the Word of God, the only one that is perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other individuals that we will look at through this study, they're ordinary men and women just like you and I. But God had a hold of them, and they had a hold of God. They stepped out by faith. These ordinary individuals were able, through faith, to live extraordinary lives and accomplish great things for God.
Because they began the journey with that single step of faith. So as we read the Scriptures and as we study the Scriptures, and we read about these individuals and their lives and the impact on the world that they had, they cast long shadows for us to see as an example to follow. Yet these shadows were actually due to the following of their steps of the Master, the Savior, the Lord, the Christ, Jesus Himself. As they follow the Savior, as they follow their God, that was the goal, to be like Christ. Our goal in life should not be to be like Dr. Jenkins. Our goal in life should not be to be like Dr. Ennis, even though those are great godly men. Our goal in life should not be to emulate Peter or to emulate Paul or Mary or you may just name someone in the Bible. That's not our goal in life. Our goal in life is to be like Jesus. So we are to be like Him. And how are we to do that? But to follow His steps. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow His steps. Now, of course, this journey, this verse, is really talking about suffering with Christ and suffering for Christ. But it goes deeper than that as well. Jesus Christ cast the longest of shadows for us to see, for us to follow, for us to look at. He is the greatest example for Christians. His shadows of a life that were pleasing to the Father. The Bible says He did all things pleasing to the Father. He did all things well. His shadows of witnessing to the lost. Look at His parables and look at His stories that He is constantly speaking to individuals about the Savior, about eternal things, eternal life. That's our example of how to witness to individuals. His shadow of compassion and kindness towards those in need. His shadows of meekness and lowliness.
His shadows of compassion and kindness towards those in need. His shadows of meekness and lowliness. His shadows of enduring persecution and cruelty. That is our example to follow. The shadows that Jesus' life cast impacted the lives of these ordinary men and women in the New Testament. And their desire was to follow in His steps, to be like Christ. That should be our desire as well, to be like Christ. For in Antioch, they were first called Christians. And that was used as a derogatory remark to these followers of Christ, followers of the way. But those Christians in Antioch said, oh no, we're going to accept this. This is a good title. This is a great title for us because Christians mean a little Christ. And that is our goal, is to be a little Christ, to be Christ-like in our lives. A quote by Ruth Rinkle. I could only find two quotes by this woman on the internet, and this is the only thing that's recorded about her and all of the internet. But this quote is amazing. It says, never fear shadows. Remember as a little child, you would fear shadows. You'd fear those things that you couldn't understand what they were. This quote says, never fear shadows. They simply mean there is light shining somewhere nearby. And that light for the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when those shadows of life come around, remember Jesus is there because the light cast a shadow. As we undertake this study of extraordinary journeys of faith, we must begin, though, with Jesus Christ. We cannot start with Peter. We cannot start with Paul. We cannot start with Mary, his mother. We cannot start with any individual for our example except the Lord Jesus Christ. To begin this journey, though, it starts with a single step. That step that is beneath our feet right now. To follow, our goals for this study is to follow and to learn of Him, Jesus. Our goal for this study is to examine and to evaluate the motives and actions of others as they follow Him. Jesus Christ's ministry was only 3.5 years, roughly. He was here on earth for about 33.5 years, but His ministry years were only about 3.5 years. So He made a mighty impact on people's lives, ordinary men and women's lives, in that short span of time. And here we must evaluate, we must examine the motives and the actions of those that He impacted and see how they followed Him, for they're just ordinary humans like we. And then a goal for this study is to contemplate our steps as we follow Jesus on our personal journey of faith. So good goals that we should be examining and looking at. Another great quote for this study is by a lady named Bonnie Gray. And it says, the beauty of faith isn't measured by how far you've walked on the journey of life. It lies in who you've been walking with. And I pray that we're all walking this journey of life with Jesus Christ. You know, you see those bumper stickers as you drive around. I love to look at bumper stickers and just laugh at them because most of them are ridiculous. But sometimes you find one that's interesting or thought-provoking. But then there's some that you're like, that's not doctrinal. That's not Bible. And now you see this one, I haven't seen it in a short time, but I've seen it over and over in my life where it says, God is my co-pilot. I don't want God as my co-pilot. I want God as my pilot. And I'm just hanging on for dear life. God should be our pilot in our lives. He should be the one leading us. And we know that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's the one directing us, guiding us. Jesus Christ is our example. A relationship with Jesus is more than just receiving Him into our lives as Lord and Savior, though that's the most important thing. That's where the relationship begins, as you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But it's also about a journey with Jesus. As He calls us and as we respond to Him, His presence is with us everywhere we go. He will be there with us through the trials of life and the joys of life. Our souls will always be refreshed in Him as long as we walk closely with the Lord. Knowing His goodness, don't you want to tell somebody about Him? Don't you want to let others know how good He is? Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the Word of God says, as Jesus is speaking, and He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and then secondly, take up his cross, and thirdly, follow me." So Luke 9:23 says, and He said to them all, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to follow Him, and I pray we do, then we have to do those things. Deny ourselves, die to self. Then we have to give through the carrying of our cross, of the suffering that we have to partake in this life, nothing compared to what Jesus had to, but that's a daily task. And then we're to follow Him. In an article I read recently, preparing for this, a Christian's journey was described as a journey with Jesus, and it included these following steps, and I thought they were pertinent for us tonight. They said, following Jesus is a journey that begins with a radical change in the direction of our lives. Remember that day before, or those couple days before you accepted Jesus as your Savior? We were going a different direction, weren't we? And then we met Jesus. Oh my, I hope that changed. I hope your life changed. I hope your heart changed. For if it hadn't, then we might need to examine that salvation. But it begins, this relationship with Jesus Christ begins with a radical change in our direction. It starts with that personal relationship, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Secondly, to journey with Jesus is a vision of the Christian life as a journey of transformation. Remember Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2? As we study that and study that and study that verse, we're seeing that we are to be transformed, not to conform. We are to be transformed. It leads from a life under the lordship of self to a surrendered life with Jesus as Lord of our lives. That's a big step. We can go from step 1 to step 2 pretty quickly, but to go from step 2 to step 3 takes some time. That takes some learning. That takes some humbleness. That takes some surrender. That takes some teaching and convicting of the Holy Spirit of God to help us to surrender self and to surrender to the Lord and His leading. Thirdly, this is a journey with Jesus, which means we should live like we are pilgrims here. That we are like a sojourner, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. We're just a passing through, as the song goes. It means simply that we are not to be bound by our possessions. My, how we have allowed our possessions to rule over us now. Our society is all about, I must have, I must get. It's all about materialistic things, things of the world. You know, those are all going to burn up. They're all going to be left to somebody when the rapture happens. You know, we've been working so hard for this thing, whatever this thing is, and we've been saving up for it, and we've been working for it and sweating for it. You finally are able to purchase it. You know, oh, it's my pride and joy. Let me show it off. I can't wait to use it. And the rapture happens. Somebody else is going to get that thing. Don't let our lives be ruled by those possessions. To journey with Jesus means listening to His teachings, not man's teachings, His teachings. And like His disciples, Sometimes we understand it, and sometimes we don't quite get it. So we need to hear it again, and we need to hear it again. We need to read it again. We need to read it again. We need to ask the Holy Spirit and pray, Holy Spirit, please teach me what this passage means. To journey with Jesus means being His companion. Not He is our companion, but we're His companion on the road of life. I want God to be my pilot, not my co-pilot. To journey with Jesus means breaking down those barriers that divide us and accept others without judgment. You know, we look at ourselves and we think we're perfect. We're good. We don't have any faults like the other guy down the street or the other lady down the street or that coworker or that neighbor. No, we're just as sinful as them. We're just as evil as they are. We need to accept people where they're at, not judge them. For it's only by the grace of God that we're not in a prison somewhere, or we're not in a cemetery somewhere, or we're not in hell today. It's only by the grace of God. We need to accept people where they're at without judgment. And then we need to journey with Jesus. To journey with Jesus means we need to be compassionate. To be compassionate to others. To journey with Jesus means opening our eyes to the needs of others. I'm sure tonight that Reese Beasley and Gabriel Beasley are seeing tonight the needs of others. Down there in the Hurricane Laura path and seeing the destruction. And Brother Billy was telling me that Reese called and said that they were for miles and miles and miles and miles, all he could see was down telephone poles, electric poles. People have needs. But not just in Louisiana, not just in the path of a hurricane, they have needs right around us. In our circle of influence, there are people around us that need something. Is it salvation? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it compassion? Is it a helping hand? What is it that our circle of influence people need? Open our eyes to that. To journey with Jesus means sharing with others. Over and over again, Jesus calls on us to give freely, to lend without thought of return, to be generous, to be gracious. That's what it means to journey with Jesus. To journey with Jesus means to be a reflection of Christ in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our motives, and then to cast a shadow for others to see Him, to follow His steps, not ours. So let's talk about Jesus for a moment, about following His steps. We won't finish this tonight, but that's okay. There's no need to rush. Look with me back in Matthew 4. In Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 19. In Matthew 4:19, the Word of God says, "And He said unto them," Jesus speaking, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Simon Peter was there. He was one of those early disciples that heard Jesus say, "Follow Me." He was one of those that left his boat, left his net, left the fishes, left his occupation. He does come back to it in a span of time, but then eventually he leaves it for good. But initially, he heard these words of Jesus, said, "Follow Me." And Peter goes, "I can do that." After many years of experience, Peter knew much more about the implications of this invitation. So he writes many years later, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, which was our text, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye," personally there, put your name there, "that ye should follow His steps." He summarizes this costly sacrifice
of Christ on our behalf and the challenging call to his followers to follow him, no matter the cost. Some interesting words here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's look at two tonight. The first is the word example, leaving us an example. This is a word that, if we took it back to the original Greek, is an interesting word because it literally means writing under. We're going to write under. The word was utilized by the ancient Greeks to describe the practice of how to teach their children how to write. Remember back in kindergarten, you got that little tablet, and inside that tablet on the first line, on those dotted lines that we had as we were learning how to write, those capital letters, and it had those letters in bold already filled in, and then it had those dotted lines that we were to trace those letters and learn how to write by tracing, writing under or writing over that pattern. And then it had a space, and we were to learn how to do it on our own after tracing that and learning that. That's what this word means, this example means, to write under. It was the practice of how to teach their children how to write. At that time, children learned the skill of writing by literally tracing over those letters. Peter moves from the idea of child learning to write to a Christian here, planting his feet in the footsteps of Jesus by how? In the context, by putting your feet in the pattern of Jesus' feet. Where he stepped, step. Follow his path, follow his steps. Like a child tracing that letter, follow the pattern before you as your example. Just as a young student follows the shapes of those letters of his teacher, therefore he learns to write, even so the Christian is to pattern our life after the life of Jesus, to learn how to live like him. A second word here in this verse says that ye should follow his steps. The word follow in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. A Christian is one who follows in the footsteps of Jesus. So this word in the Greek means to take the same road as someone else has. A Christian is one who does just that. He follows in the footsteps of Jesus down the exact same road. Now, we're not walking on the streets that Jesus walked on, but we're walking through this world facing similar persecutions at times, but similar sufferings at times. The Bible teaches us that he suffered for all that we took in and all that we experienced. Jesus experienced that as well. There's a great classic book written by Charles M. Sheldon many years ago about a pastor and his congregation and this congregation's desire to follow the steps of Jesus and everything they did, every decision they made, they wanted to do something like Jesus, to walk in his steps. And that's the name of that classic book by Charles M. Sheldon, In His Steps. Now, it is a classic, but we don't practice social gospel. That book tends towards social gospel, but it is a great message in that story of learning to walk in the steps of Jesus. How can we follow then in the footsteps of Jesus? How can we do this? We must first reflect on some characteristic. We're not going to do this overnight. This is a lifetime journey. So we first must reflect on some characteristic of our Lord's life and his ministry, and learn how to follow in that pattern, the same road of that example that we have. So is it witnessing? Is it compassion? Is it kindness? Is it fulfilling the needs of others? And on we could go. Find that one characteristic that you desire to be like Christ, and pattern your life around the example of Jesus Christ until you achieve at least what you feel like you've gotten success in that. We're not going to be perfect like Jesus. And then find another characteristic, and another one, and another one. And that's how you become Christ-like. A lifetime of journey. So what are the ways in which we can follow in his steps? Let me just give you one tonight. We need to follow in the footsteps of his priorities. God was first in the life of Jesus. There was no second place for God in his life. God was first in Jesus' life. The concerns of serving God took priority over everything else in Jesus' life. John 8 and verse 29, the Word of God says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not let me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He came to do the will of the Father, it says another portion of Scripture. Now, I know we all have occupations. We have to earn a living to pay the bills, to earn, you know, that rat trail that we're on. We all have that life that we have to live here to survive. But God should always be number one. God should always be our first priority. This was Jesus' philosophy of life. Not to please others, but to please God first. Now, we should please others as it comes second and third and fourth and fifth, but please God first. Prioritize. I came across this story to help summarize this and illustrate this. In the writings of her memoirs and reflections on life, of her life with her husband, Mamie Eisenhower, the wife of President and General Dwight D. Eisenhower, revealed some of the reasons why he was such a great leader. She wrote, "He was able to inspire others to serve and sacrifice because of his deep love and loyalty to his country." Miss Eisenhower said, "I learned early in our married life about his single-minded devotion to the country of America. At their first home, a small apartment near Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, young Eisenhower kept his gear packed at all times by the door, never knowing when he may be called to the duty of serving his country. He was ready to go anywhere when called upon to do so. After they had been married only a month or so, General Eisenhower, then just known as Ike, was given a new assignment that would take him away from home for some time. He came in and announced to his wife, Mamie, of 1 month, that he must leave her for a long span of time. She said to him, "Ike, you're not going to leave me this soon after our wedding day, are you?" He put his arms around his young bride and said, "Mamie, there is one thing you must understand. My country comes first and always will. You come second." Mamie Eisenhower was shocked. She was a 19-year-old bride who had been married only 1 month, and now she had just heard the sobering words that she was always going to be second in her husband's life. I'm not saying doing that, husbands. God should be first. Then your spouse and your family. God is always first. Prioritize like Jesus prioritized. Jesus demands a God-first loyalty from his followers. And he gave us the example of his own life by which we can pattern our lives. So as we begin this study of examining extraordinary journeys of New Testament individuals and the shadows they're casting, it all reflects back to Jesus. Let us open our minds and our hearts and be willing to see how we too can improve our journey to be extraordinary for Jesus. And so others can see him through us and our journey. That should be our goal as Christians, for others to see Christ in us. And how can we do that? By first prioritizing Jesus, or God first, or Jesus first in all things in our lives. Don't take away from here, husbands, that I told you your wives can be second place. God's first, and a close second is your spouse. Love them, cherish them, but love Christ more. We are going to begin this journey, and who knows where it's going to take us. But I pray when we get through this journey, we'll see that our lives can be even more extraordinary for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study and where it's going to take us. You already know the outcome. You already know the middle, the beginning, the end. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be attentive, to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Not my words, but your words, Lord. Help us to put you first in our lives. Help us to take these things about journeying with Jesus and to be compassionate, to be kind, to be helping others in need, to see with our eyes open and accepting others and not judging them. Help us, Lord, to reflect Christ in our hearts and our lives. Help our journey in this life to be first a journey of faith, but also, Lord, help it to be a journey of extraordinary value for you. Not for us, not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but help our lives to be extraordinary for you so that we can cast a shadow behind us and others can see, not us, but they can see you and all that you mean to us. Guide us on this journey. Help us, I pray, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. For it's in His name we pray and ask it. Amen.